I must start where I started before on this. Go to Psalm 18. This is part two of Your Gift Will Make Room for You. Let me give you a little quote I heard from a preacher. I don't even know who it was. But it'll go along with what we're doing. And it is, if you're focusing on the need, you're missing the miracle of the seed. I heard some preacher on TBN say that a while back or somewhere, and I jotted it down on my computer and came across it last night. So if you're focusing on the need, you're missing the miracle of the seed. So often we're focusing on our needs, rightly so in the flesh, we would be. But what God's saying is if you just focus on your problems, whether it's in your body, whether it's in your finances, your marriage, whatever it is that you're trying to overcome or get through, if you focus on that and don't focus on the seed, which is the gift, which is Jesus, you won't overcome the need. You'll always be needy. All of us know people that are need freaks, needy people. They need. They always need to be around people. They always need this. They need that. They stay needy their whole life. Why? Because they're always focusing on their needs instead of the seed. And God wants us to move beyond our need to the seed. Okay, go. We're in Psalm 18. Look at verse 19. He also brought me out into a broad place. When God gets ready to bring you out and bring you into what he's got for you, it's not a narrow, squeezed-in place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you're feeling squeezed, it's very likely it's not from God. Very likely it's the devil, as in Matthew 11, 12, where it says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. When you study that out in the Greek, it means to be squished in, to be seized in, to be crowded in. That's what Satan does to you. He crowds you, he seizes you, he squishes you in that. But when God brings you out of that squeezing, he expands your borders. He brings you into a broad place. He brings you into liberty. God is not about a bunch of rules and regulations. He is about a relationship with him. You got a close friend, they don't disown you because you mess up. God doesn't disown you when you mess up. And any preacher today that's out there preaching that kind of garbage, and it's taught all over, doesn't know what they're talking about. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is grace. David says, the Lord brought me into a broad place. That word means an enlargement. An open space, usually in a good sense. So David is speaking of, in a good sense, God is expanding me. It also means figurative of liberty. As we celebrate the 4th of July, on the 5th, 4th of July is about liberty. And I couldn't help but thinking last night as I'm hearing all the fireworks go off till all hours of the night of how many people don't even know what they're doing with that. Don't realize that it's symbolic of war and it's symbolic of liberty. You know, the bombs bursting in air. And then I couldn't help to think of the children over in the Middle East and in the world that they're literally hearing war. They don't need fireworks. They're hearing the real thing. It's nothing to them to hear a bomb drop right over there one block away. It's nothing for them to see 20 people killed just like that as we're celebrating the 4th of July. As most people were celebrating the 4th last night, getting whiskey bent and hell bound, much of them, they're not in church today, most of them. But they'll celebrate for 6 hours while they're getting whiskey bent and hell bound and doing the fireworks till 3 in the morning, but they won't get up and go to church. What's wrong with that picture in America? Yet if I take the gospel right now, if someone shot me over to Iran right now and I started preaching this gospel, I guarantee I'd draw a crowd like you never saw. And they'd come out We are on the brink of change in this country and in the world. If you're not ready, you better get ready, get ready, get ready! My preaching is going to become more fiery, more fervent, more crazy, more outlandish, more outrageous than you have ever seen in the days to come. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm going to start making Rod Parsley look like a church mouse. So if you don't like Rod Parsley, you definitely aren't going to like me. Because I'm going to get flamboyant. I'm going to roll around. I'm going to do all kinds of weird stuff that God's going to have me do. Because prophets do strange things. They don't just teach the word. They express how God is feeling. And God is getting loud and rambunctious right now. God is not quiet right now. There's things happening. We don't often like this part of God. We want to think of God as in the still, small voice. And we like to quote the prophet, oh, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the earthquake. But he's been in the fire before, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's been in the earthquake before when he shook the earth. Don't tell me God only comes in a still, small voice. If you want that, you need to go see some nice little pastor. I'm not a pastor. I am a prophet of God that's here to make a loud noise. And that's what I shall do. I can't apologize for who I am. Used to, I probably would have, but I'm not making apologies now. And if I offend somebody, you'll have to get over it because I won't come to you and apologize for what I say up here under this anointing. If I mess up down there, that's one thing. But when I'm under this anointing, I'm under the Spirit of God. You'll have to deal with God on that. God is excited about what's going on in planet Earth. God wants you to get excited as well. He's tired of you just wandering on this side of the fence. He's ready to bring you into a large place. Your destiny is large. It's like I keep telling you that Peter Gabriel, he was on the brink of prophetic destiny when he wrote that song. Big time, and I will kneel in a big church. As I pray to a big God. Everything was big in that song. It's not Selena's favorite song, but you know, I love it. But you ought to pull up the lyrics and see it. It's so godly prophetic. It is so prophetic. I believe that we live in the best of times for those of us who are the children of the King. I've heard people say, oh, I wish I could just live back in the good old days. You do? What, without running water and electricity? You want to? Go to a third world country where they don't have that and see if you enjoy it. We better be thankful for what we... I thank God every day for Thomas Edison. I don't thank God for Alexander Graham Bell because I hate the telephone. And if I had my way, I would never have a phone. I hate phones with a passion. They've been the downfall of many marriages, many relationships, and much gossip is on the phone. So I really don't like phones, but I've been wanting to check into that, see if they have a IHatePhones.com website, because I was going to start one. But we live in the best of times for those of us who are children of the King. I believe that God is raising us up to be able to conquer anything. I believe that we are moving from existence to possession. From recession and depression to Holy Ghost expression. From coinciding to abiding to Holy Ghost aligning. From stress to success, from the rest to the best. From just thinking to dreaming, from dreaming to doing. From perception to conception, from conception to reception. For what we perceive, we shall conceive. And what we conceive, we shall receive, for we know that somewhere in the future, we look much better than we look right now. For Satan is trembling and shaking in the dust, blinded by his pride and bound by his own lust. But he knows that something's changing. He can feel it in the air. It's the sound of some strange army arising everywhere. That's us, people. We're the army. You can get more excited about it than that. From the north to the south, to the east to the west, he can smell that something's brewing. Could it be God's save the best? Do y'all smell what's brewing? Hello, new wine, new wine. Something should be churning in you about that right now. Then all of a sudden, John chapter 2 and Genesis 3 shakes Satan's earthen bed. And Mary from up in heaven is screaming, "It's time to crush your head!" God is getting ready in this generation to bring forth some new wine. If you're drunk on yesterday's revelation, you ain't going to get it. That's what John chapter 2 is all about. Is that John chapter 2? Miracle of the wine, right? It's not 3. Nope, John chapter 2. Look it up. It's John 2. God is saving the best for last. That's why he did that. Why did you do this? It's 2, people. Why did you save the best wine to the last? Typically, you serve the best wine first. Before people are good and drunk, they need to drink something that tastes good. Hello? After they're good and walking the tilt, they can have anything they want then. Now, there's a spiritual message in that. Most of the church is drunk on yesterday's nostalgia, and they're still stuck and doing nothing but playing all the old hymns, which most of them are not anointed for today. Most of them are not going to touch one soul out there for today. Now, we know the ones that are anointed for today.